Pastor Bill and his wife Susan are away. In fact, last week we were blessed by Lisa Steigerwald's word. Today we are going to have the opportunity to hear what God has for us through Alan Lovejoy. Alan, come on up. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for my brother Alan. I thank you, Lord, that you have blessed him in many ways. You've blessed him in talents and skills and abilities, Lord. You've blessed him through his family. But, Lord, most of all this morning, I thank you that you have blessed him with a word for us. I pray, Lord, that you would order Alan's thoughts and that he might speak boldly and that we might hear everything that he has to say as it's from you. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Y'all comfortable? Oops. Well, the Lord put some thoughts in my mind and put together some scriptures and has kind of been talking to me about the walk. And if you look at the banner behind me, you see that PCOG, or soon the Echo Congregation, will exist to help you know Jesus Christ, find God's call for your life, and live it. And I want to share a few thoughts on how to release the power of God's grace, not only in our individual lives, but corporately. And the first scripture I want to use, and I'm going to go old school, and there's a reason for old school, meaning pull out your pew Bibles. And that is, you see, I thought about this. And when you have the scripture on the screen, do you look anywhere else in God's Word? No, all you have is the scripture on the screen. But if you open your pew Bibles, which are in the racks, I'm sure, and turn to Luke 14, verse 15 to 24, perhaps your eyes will stray as I get boring and you'll read more of the scripture. Which is good, because God's word is power. And it's going to never come back without having done its power. So I'm going to begin, and what I'm going to talk about first is showing up. In any relationship, you have to show up. And so, starting in Luke 14, verse 15, when one of those at the table with him heard this, he said to Jesus, "Blessed is the man who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God." Sounds like a good thing to say, right? Jesus replies, "A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.'" Think a massive wedding banquet. Okay? "But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, 'I've just bought a field, and I must go and see it. Please excuse me.' Another said, 'I've just bought 5 yoke of oxen. I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me.' Still another said, 'I just got married. I can't come.' The servant came back and reported this to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry, and he ordered his servant to go out quickly into the streets and the alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. Sir, the servant said, 'What you ordered has been done, but there's still room.' Then the master told his servant, 'Go out to the roads and the country lanes and make them come in, so that my house will be full. I tell you, not one of those men who were invited will get a taste of my banquet.'" We all believe that God has blessings for us. There's only one thing that we need to do to get a hold of those. Show up. You want to get the feast? You got to show up. There's no other way to get those blessings. Now, stop and think about these excuses for a second. We're talking about an agrarian time 2,000 years ago where to own a field was to be able to grow food for your family, or to own oxen was to be able to plow that field. So the first excuse, this is a real smart one. "I just bought a field and I have to go check it out." Wait a minute. Has anybody ever bought real estate and not inspected it before you bought it? Think about that. This guy's saying, "I just spent $2 million on a house in Greenwich and I didn't have a building inspection. I just bought it, now I got to see what I bought." How about the second excuse? Oxen. Oxen in the day were like trucks to us today. I run a business and I need delivery trucks. I just bought 5 of them. I got to go see whether they work. I mean, when you think about it, they're pretty lame excuses, aren't they? I mean, if you're going to buy a piece of real estate, you want to inspect it before you buy it. If you're going to buy a truck, you want to have it test drive a car before you drive it, before you buy it. And what's the point of that? Well, in life, we have a lot of competing priorities for our time, don't we? Got family to raise, got a spouse to care for, got grandchildren to worry about. We've got our jobs to worry about. We've got school. A lot of important, very pressing needs. And it's easy and very convenient to let the most important and the greatest blessing fall to the back of our priority list. Well, what do I mean? Showing up with the Lord. If you're going to have a knowledge and a relationship with anyone, let alone Jesus Christ, do you need to relate to that person? I think so. And if we're focused on the short term, like I do a lot, and the immediate, we neglect to take 15, 20, 30 minutes a day with the Lord individually. I'm more guilty of it than anyone, whether it's not being in prayer, whether it's not spending time in His Word. And grace is God's free gift to us. He saves us from a life of, you know, a terrible life, and yet we make excuses not to get the blessings over and over. And then we say, gee, Lord, I'm angry at you because my life's a mess. So how is the principle showing up applied out in our lives? First, I want to look at it personally, individually, for myself. The Christian walk is a personal relationship with Jesus and God the Father through Christ and through the grace of God. And it's with that grace that we are then filled with the Holy Spirit and we're able to walk with the Lord in a personal relationship. Just like the servant of the master had a relationship with his master and the master told him to go out and find the other people, okay? The key to a relationship with Jesus is showing up daily. And in any relationship, whether it's in marriage with my spouse or a friendship with someone here at the church or whatever, okay, showing up and participation is the glue that holds that relationship together. I don't relate to somebody if I don't know what their life's all about. Now, Lorraine and I have been married for 33 fantastic years. It has been the blessing of blessings that the Lord has given me. And I will tell you something. If I don't show up and actively share life with her, we don't have a relationship, okay? And we wouldn't stay in a relationship. When we were in the midst of raising children, who've all, God's blessed us with them being grown and out of the house right now, I was totally focused on work. Does anybody know what that's like? Making sure you can pay the bills, pay the mortgage, pay your rent, making sure that things are okay while the wife's raising the kids. Sound familiar? And Lorraine was totally focused on the kids, making sure that they got their homework done, making sure they got to school, making sure that they had food in their stomachs, or that they got to their babysitting jobs, or that they were dressed appropriately, or whatever it was. We were both very focused on our roles. And at that time, we were not praying together. We weren't spending a lot of time relating one to another. And you know what happened to our relationship? Can anybody guess? Would we get closer or farther away? So we looked at each other when the kids were out of the house, and I won't get into all the rocky times that we had, but we weren't as close as we needed to be. And at one point, we could say, well, we were simply committed to each other because we had made a vow. We then started praying together. We'd get up 15 minutes early, have our showers, get dressed, come downstairs. I'd have a cup of coffee, she'd have her cup of tea, and we would spend just 5 minutes praying together. And then we went from there to actually reading the Word together as well as praying together in the mornings. And it has transformed not only our relationship with each other, but our relationship with the Lord. So how do you start? I know, for me, it's extraordinarily daunting staring at a 1,500-page book and trying to figure out, well, okay, I should go in the New Testament, not the Old Testament, and where am I going to start in this book? Well, I like cheat sheets. Does anybody like a cheat sheet? Crib notes on books, kids. You like those? Cheat sheet. Right here. It's in the entrance to the offices on the tables. It's called Encounter with God. It has scriptures that you read, a little bit of scripture, Psalm 7, 1 to 17, back in April. And then it's got some thoughts. It's real simple, takes about 10 minutes. It's a great tool. The other one, this is even, and that goes systematically through different books in the Bible. It's called Our Daily Bread. Also, read a scripture, spend about a minute reading commentary on the scripture. It's amazing how God touches your lives with this. And it's a great cheat sheet. You don't have to think. You just get up in the morning, what's today? And you pull it out. It really has transformed, I believe, my life and my walk with the Lord. So, the first thing you have to do is show up. You got to have a plan. And what we do after that is, it's really interesting. We read a book called Proverbs. Does everybody know where Proverbs is? It's in the Old Testament. All right, here's another question. If you know the answer, don't answer it. Does everybody know how many Proverbs there are? How many chapters? 31. How many days are there in a month? The longest month? 31. Hey, wait a minute. There's a proverb for every day. You just look at your watch. Today says 29. I read Proverbs 29. By the way, that's what Billy Graham and his wife did for their entire lives together. And I think they still read the Proverbs. I want to tell you, there is more wisdom in there than anywhere in God's Word. So, as I said before, okay, if you just show up, the relationship does start to develop. Incidentally, in jobs and work, showing up is 90% of it. Okay, at school, just showing up at class is really important. I promise you, when I was at college, the kids that didn't go to class didn't pass. It's a direct correlation, if you will. Show up corporately. We talk a lot about the power. All hail the power of Jesus' name. We talk about the power of Christ. We talk about the power of God in our lives. Yet corporately, if we're going to experience the full blessings of the supernatural power of God in our lives and in the lives of others, we need to show up corporately. And everybody here is doing that today. Okay? One of the most powerful benefits from showing up at church together is the power of the body of Christ applied to each other. Let's give you an example. When I was back in the 90s, my father passed away and I was really verging on depression. I was apprehensive about a lot of the responsibilities that I was going to have to take on with my mother, who is now widowed. I was very, because she was not able to handle things, I was very overwhelmed with that on top of my job, raising my family, and everything else. It was the brothers at that time in a group called the Tall Men's Group, the Bible study group that used to meet, and they reached out to me over and over again. I can remember one day Robert coming over and just sitting with me. And it was tremendously encouraging, filled me with courage. And Jesus said in Matthew 18, if you want to turn there, if you still have your Bibles out, in 18, 19, and 20, a real simple principle. And it's the Word of God, so we know it's truth. Again, I tell you, chapter 18, 19, and 20. Again, I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything you ask for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three come together in my name, there I am with them. Really, really important principle. Okay? If we want the power of the living God to be fully released in our lives, we need to get together and ask. If we don't come together and ask God to release His grace and power within us, most likely we won't receive. It's that simple. Two together, in Jesus' name they call it out, God has to answer. It's in His Word, and His Word is truth. Do it alone, better with two. Better yet, three. Now, last week, you recall Lisa shared about the prayer and healing ministry that's ongoing here at the church. And it's a very powerful ministry. A lot of people have been released from bondage, from chains, from all kinds of addictions and all kinds of really dysfunctional things in their lives and free to serve Christ. It's a ministry that not only relieves people from bondage, but it also frees the prayers. And the prayers themselves are blessed immensely by being used by the Lord. Interestingly, never will they go one-on-one with someone. They always go in pairs. Why do you think? It says in Matthew, when two or more are gathered, it's pretty simple, in my name and they ask it, I will do it. So they go in pairs, two by two. But there's another reason as well. Have you ever played the game telephone, you know, where I whisper something in someone's ear and it goes around the circle and at the end you have something totally different from what was actually said? Reverse it in power of the Spirit because God turns the world upside down. What we're talking about there is two people listening to somebody sharing. I've had the privilege of being in a prayer ministry from time to time in that. And those two people will be, myself and someone else will be listening, and the person that we're praying for will share stuff, and then the Spirit will talk, and we will pray for something that may not even be what they were talking about, because the Spirit told us it's not his shoulder, it's a relationship with his brother. And you pray for it, and the person says, wow, and you see God work. So the key is to have more than one person praying and listening. And the Spirit, of course, speaks to us differently. And as two or more open to the Spirit's leading, he speaks to each in a very unique way. And as I said, he can be saying, pray for my shoulder hurts, and it's actually the brother that needs to be prayed for. And our enemy, the destroyer, wants to create just the opposite. One of the best tools that Satan has is isolation. Isolation causes depression, feelings of helplessness, loneliness. These are all not positive situations for a person to go into. Okay? Yet we have a God who is full of helpfulness, encouragement, power, and might. He's mighty to save us in all issues. Yet isolation and loneliness constantly is a battle for people in this world. One of the best tools for that that Satan has, you know what it is? I went to visit my daughter, and we went to a country club that they were at, and we were having lunch, and I watched 7 15, 16-year-old children in the pool, and then come out of the pool, and all sat in the big lounge chairs. Not one of them spoke to the other one. They were all doing this. 7 kids sitting around a circle, all texting, and they'll literally text each other about the other one sitting right there, driving them into isolation. Think about it. If you get isolated, now all of a sudden when you have these, when the Spirit's put bad thoughts in your mind, who's there to say, oh, that's not of the Lord, you shouldn't be thinking that? You are totally vulnerable. So community is critical. And if you want to experience the supernatural power in our lives, we need to show up corporately. Plain and simple. A touch on the shoulder. For some people, that may be the only physical touch they will get at church on Sunday. Think about that. It's powerful. Second phrase I want to talk about. Give up and trust in the Lord. Now, it's really interesting. We all know about the Last Supper. We all know, you know, what was going on there. But what was going on at the Last Supper right before Jesus washed the disciples' feet? Do you all remember what they were talking about? Who's the greatest amongst themselves? Who is the greatest one? I'm better than you, Peter. And Matthew, you're nothing. And you know, on and on, right? What does Jesus do? He washes their feet. The most lowly job you can do. He washes their feet to show them what? To show them how God operates. Now, what he was showing them was that if we want to experience the power, the fruit, and the blessings of the Lord and of the kingdom, we need to understand how God operates. The first will be last. And those who want to get must give up the things that they want. Now, I'm going to address three areas that are kind of painful to look at in our lives. Okay, but if we look at them, I think you get a revelation as far as where you're heading and what you're doing. And trust me, I don't want to look at this myself. First of all, time. Okay, we all have 24 hours in a day, right? Sometimes we just don't have enough time to stop and be in prayer or to be with the Lord. I don't know who the guy was. Maybe it was Martin Luther. Somebody said he didn't have enough time to get everything done, so what he said he did was instead of getting up at 5 in the morning, he got up at 4. And God gave him the energy to stay awake all day long, even though he was waking up an hour earlier. Try it. You'll be amazed how the Lord will actually work if you make that effort to get together with him. And personally, I'm always busy. And busyness, many times, right, just takes over our lives. We've got so much going on, I just don't have time to whatever. To go for a walk with somebody, to stop by and see somebody that's lonely, to pray for someone, to pray with my spouse, to share with somebody, to reach out to this person that I see on the road because their car's broken down and I really have to get to this appointment. Maybe. Or maybe that person's there for you to help. And maybe they'll touch them in a way that will really enhance the kingdom. So I think, from my perspective, I need to give up my time to the Lord as best I can. And to look with His eyes. Second one is even better. Money. Now, if you'll turn to Malachi 3:7, we all know that scripture, or probably, maybe we don't, but not 7, 3:10. And I'll start reading at verse, Malachi is the last book in the Old Testament. And I'm starting at verse 8, 7 and a half, 8. But you ask, how are we to return? Will a man rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how do we rob you? In tithes and offerings. You are under a curse, the whole nation of you, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And this is God speaking. Right? This is God speaking. And the next four words are probably the most important. Test me in this. This is God talking to the Israelites, and he's saying, test me. How many times in the Word does God say, test me? Not a lot. And what he says is, test me in this, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. And it's been amazing to me, the more that I have yielded to give to the Lord, the less that I'm in want. It's kind of messed up. It's totally backwards. I promise you, it's totally backwards. There are times when I can remember I did not have enough money to pay the mortgage. We all want to pay our mortgage so we don't have a bad credit rating. I didn't have enough. Yet I would come to church and write a tithe check. And then 2 days later at the office, in would walk a client giving me all kinds of business, and I had more than enough to pay the mortgage. Coincidence? Over 30 years, I've seen these coincidences at least once a year. And I'm not patting myself on the back at all, but I think if you put God's priorities first, He will take care of you. Consider the lilies of the field. Consider the grass you see growing right now, or the pansies you might have planted, or the roses that are growing. Aren't you worth more than them? And if you put His priorities first, it's amazing how you can reap the benefits, the supernatural benefits, because this stuff is not natural, okay? And it works. And on the other hand, if you don't, you don't experience the blessings necessarily. Now He's going to throw you out of the kingdom, but one of the things that drives us on wealth and money is fear. I'm afraid what did Jesus say more than anything else? Fear not. Don't be afraid. Step out in faith and watch how the kingdom comes in a supernatural way. We serve a God that transcends this normal physics and finance and everything else in this world. We serve a God who is supernatural. And if you test Him, He's going to prove it. I promise you. Thirdly, talents. We all have them. We all have a lot of gifts the Spirit has given us. And we've been enhanced with them to use them for the Spirit, for the body through the Spirit. And most importantly, with those talents, many times, we have all kinds of things going on, and the most difficult thing for me is to wait and trust that my personal disappointments, that situations that didn't work out like I really wanted them to, are in God's hands. I'd like to introduce you to a friend of mine who went through exactly that type of situation over jobs. John Diamond. I want him to share an experience that he had in job hunting.
But before I do, I wanted to sort of ask you a question. Have you ever sort of experienced, really wanted something badly? Like wanted maybe an opportunity or a job or a work opportunity to go well or a meeting to go well or a test or something like that that didn't go well? I think probably all of us have had that here in this audience. And when you think about it and reflect back, you know that God has a way and a path for each one of us. And I'm going to spend a couple minutes talking about that because I think it's very important in following along what Alan talked about faith and patience and trust and really a plan that God has for everyone. Now, my journey began, I think a lot of you know, several years ago when my business wasn't succeeding. And I started on a job search that lasted 18 months. And it was full of disappointments along the way. But I kept on thinking that about a couple Bible verses that came to me that were very important in this journey. Number one was in Psalm 3, "But you, O Lord, are a shield around me and my glory and the one who lifts up my head." Another verse that came to me was Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans I have for you, declared the Lord, the plans to prosper you and not harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." Now, I knew the Lord had a plan for me, but I just didn't know what that plan was, and I didn't know how long it would be. But I knew the church was, family here, was praying for me. And what's important is what you pray along the way. And what they were praying for is that I find the right opportunity, not a job, a specific job, but the right opportunity. And that was really important because several of the opportunities they had were not going to be part of this community anymore. They were going to be far away. Now, you got to step back and say, when you're 50 years old or older, it's actually kind of difficult to get a job now because most of the businesses are young and they have young people in 30s and 40s who are now, especially on Wall Street. And so when you're over 50, you have to sort of try harder. And so I did. God's given me the gift of thought, and he's given me the gift of relationships, and he's given me the opportunity to use a telephone and email because he's provided for us in that regard. So I did, and I reached out to everyone I could imagine over this period. And upon reflection, after listening to God and having patience, a few opportunities came to roost. The first one was an opportunity, an asset management firm in Red Bank, New Jersey, called Zeiss. Over a several-month search process I had with them, they narrowed down the field from 20 candidates down to a couple, and in fact, then came to me. And we would spend time praying about it. Was this the right opportunity for me, or was it not? And it would require probably us to move. Something also about this firm just didn't sit right, not only the distance, but also the fact that there's something wrong with this firm, and I just couldn't pin it down. So God had given me the opportunity to research the firm, and I did. I read 1,000 pages or so in corporate filings for this company, and buried in one of those pages was a couple little lines that described some problems the firm was having or could potentially have in the future. I prayed about it and thought about it, and I know others here did as well, especially Lisa, who was praying for me all the time. And sure enough, I decided not to take the job. Now, fast forward to March of this year, just a couple months ago. Everything that I had thought was going to be a problem was. The firm's in financial difficulty on the brink of failure. And on my concern, and I avoided, by listening to God and thinking about it and doing the work, avoided a major catastrophe. Now, there was another firm that I got a call from called Visium in New York. And it's a firm that had another major search and a really interesting job, a job, the head of marketing, which was very exciting for me. And I thought, this is a perfect job for me. And in that case, I prayed about the role, and I said, you know, God, what I really want is the right job. Is this the right job for me? Tell me if it is. But sure enough, at the end of the day, I didn't get the job. Came down to a couple people, and I didn't get the job. And I wondered, why didn't I get that job? Well, fast forward to about a month ago, the FBI and the government and the regulators are suing the firm for insider trading. And several of the people are going to go to jail as a result, and the firm will go out of business. And this was a major firm in New York. So that's ongoing today. And I sit there and say, wow, did I miss that one? Another opportunity happened where I called up a friend of mine who was in Chicago, and he's at this firm called Achievement Asset Management. Very sounded good. And I went to see him. I knew he was a well-regarded individual, and he had a big business. And I went and saw him in Chicago, and I'm pretty excited about coming in as president of his firm. But it would require me moving and the family moving. And ultimately, I didn't get that job either. It came down to he just said, you know, I just don't think you're the right fit for us right now in the organization. And I was disappointed in that, too, because I thought that was a good one, too. But, again, the Lord has a funny way of acting because the firm's now out of business. He shut down his business in January of this year and fired everyone, all 78 people. The last role I want to talk to you about, another one which I missed on, was a firm called Investcorp. Now, it's based in Bahrain, and they run the money for a lot of Middle Eastern families. They also have a U.S. office, and I was going to come in a very big role, and they did a big search, and I really wanted this job. I did a lot of homework. I read books by the chairman, and I just thought this was a perfect role for me. But, God, is this the right role that you have for me in my plans? And we got down to two people, it was me and another person, and headhunter said, you've got the job. You're going to get it. And everything was going right. I was walking down the street one day in New York, and I was going between meetings, and all of a sudden, a cement block from, you know, 30, 40 feet above me fell and landed right on my shoulder here, okay, and almost knocked me over. Okay, and I was like, whoa. What was that? And I see this jagged piece of cement sitting on the ground. I'm like, whoa! And it happened to hit. I had a big, heavy overcoat, and I had my strap for my backpack, which is padded, so it hit right here. It still hurts, actually. Because I just felt it. And it hit right there and landed on the ground. And I said, my goodness, if that had hit my head, which is just 4 inches away, I would be dead. Absolutely dead. But I said, no, why would a piece of cement drop off of a building and land on me when I'm just walking down the street? What building is this? So I looked around, and it was Saks Fifth Avenue, very recognizable building. Well, what's amazing about that is the Bahrainian company, Investcorp, owns that company, okay, that I'm interviewing for a job for. And so I'm like, wow, this is a sign, right? Hallelujah, God has spoken to me. So I came running back here, and I talked to Pastor Bill about it, and I talked to Lisa. And Pastor Bill said, wow, does this happen often? And Lisa said, Well, about a week later, Lisa came over to me and said, I need to speak to you. She said, I don't think that Jesus would hurt you. I don't think this is the job for you. And sure enough, I actually didn't get the job. And fast forward, what happened to oil in the world, price-wise? Collapse. What happened to all the wealth of all those families? Collapsed. What happened to this company? In real trouble. And I miss that one, too. But what's interesting is, through all this time and patience, I prayed and I knew and I had this confidence that God had a plan for me. And while I was disappointed, I wasn't devastated because I knew there was something else that he had in mind for me. And one day I was sitting by my computer, just sitting there, and a name popped into my head. And I'm convinced the Lord spoke to me and said, call Michael Reese is his name. And I said, Michael Reese, that's a guy I met once in my life. I met him 3 years ago, as a matter of fact, once. And I've got 9,000 contacts in my Rolodex, and I said, I hope I have his contact information. So I looked down, and sure enough, there it is, sitting in my contact. So I sent him a quick email. And I said, Michael, hi, it's John Diamond. I don't know if you remember me. We met 3 years ago. Okay, and but the business I was in, not doing so well, and I wondered if you had any ideas of other opportunities for me. Just left it at that. 15 minutes later, he emails back. I do remember you. And in fact, could you come by at your soonest convenience, how about Monday, and come out and have a chat with me? I said, wow, this is pretty good. So I show up, and I don't know what we're going to talk about. And he said, you know what? We talked for a while, and he said, I've got an idea. I said, how about you come work for me? He said, because he's the boss. How about you come work for me? Because I've got a perfect job for you. I know about your background. I remember you. And how about you come work for me and run this big business of mine? I said, wow, that's amazing. Like, wow. And it matched all my skill sets. I said, the Lord just popped your name into my head. And what was interesting about it is, we learned later, that about a week before, he went to his wife, and they sat down, and he said, you know what, I've got a problem. The people running this business today, this leader I have, he's not going to last. I've got to make a change. And it was just a week before that he told his wife, I'm going to make a change, and then I called. Isn't that incredible? So today I approach, you know, each day with a sort of a different attitude. I'm thankful for the opportunity to serve and to work and be productive. I don't take my job for granted. I know it's God's will that I'm sitting in that job. There's no way else to explain these facts. It is God's way, and he has a plan for me, and this is just part of the journey. And I'm going to make the best of it, because that's what he's done. He's given you all talents to make the best of whatever opportunity he gives to you. And so that's what I sort of, Alan asked me to speak about. He doesn't make it easy. He's told us to follow him, to listen to him, to obey him. And he will reward us with more riches than we can ever imagine.
Thanks, John. Isn't that amazing? Was there opportunity for John to get depressed? 18 months, three kids, and a wife, and a dog, and a house, and a mortgage, and kids going to college, okay, and they need shoes, and crickets running the family, and John doesn't have a job. Talk about, for a man, the absolute biggest depression would be not to be able to have. Who's been through a period of unemployment? You know. It is very, you're fighting depression as a man over that. That is a depressing thing. Absolutely. And over and over, job after job that was the best opportunity he saw at the point right there, right now, and he's denied. And he comes into the other one and gets right to the bake-off, and he's denied. 18 months. He didn't know that that company was going to blow up 18 months hence. He's looking at a job. How many times have we all done that? Right in front of our nose is all we see, yet God sees that if we go here, it's a disaster. And so now we're mad at God because we didn't get it, and then 18 months later, we look and go, oh, that thing fell apart? How about, thank you, Lord, I could have been running that company and firing people and getting fired myself. Very, very important to, as I say, finally, so to come back to the three terms that I want you to think about. First one, show up. If you want the blessings of the banquet, you need to show up. As a group, we need to show up corporately. Right? What's the next one? Does anybody know? Give it up. Give it up. Your time, your money, your talents. Give it up and watch how God blesses you. His economy is not our economy, and his ways are not our ways. And it's very, the challenge of the Christian walk is to take his ways and try to make our ways his ways, which is exact opposite of what the world tells us to do. Surprise, who is the king of the world? The devil. Well, don't you think he wants to counteract what God's doing? He's here to destroy. So go ahead and stay on your cell phones, just like the devil wants you to. I'm not saying don't use them. They're a great tool. I see pictures of my grandsons. They're right here. It's wonderful. But beware isolation. It's real. And it's toxic. Finally, look up. Now, there's a fellow by the name of Blackaby that we studied a while here at this church. He gave said a phrase that makes a lot of sense, and it's right in line with look up, which is look around and see where God is moving and join him. I've been down to Nicaragua 2 times. This is going to be my 3rd time. 3rd time's a charmer, Beth, right? Then I'm done, right? I'm teasing her. But you want to see God moving and join him? Come to Nicaragua. You afraid of going to Nicaragua? Go to Jos, Nigeria. Well, maybe you don't want to go to Nigeria. Go to World Vision in New York City. Go to Adams Gardens. We have a lot of opportunities to minister here in this congregation. Step out, take a Saturday morning. I realize they're precious when you're working six, 8 days a week, whatever. But step out. Not to mention working with Pivot, New Lives, and everything else that's going on around here where people need our time and talents. If you use them for the Lord and you look up, what you're going to see is an amazing blessing from the Lord in your life and what you're all about. So summary, if you really want to experience the power, the supernatural power that we get through a relationship with Jesus Christ, you got to show up, give up, and look up. Thanks so much.